explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. So rather than hear me, let's hear Joel. Hi, Joel. How are we doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, I was really excited to realize that it looked like they pretty well turned back the amnesty bill.
Well, that's an amazing story, not so much because... the amazing story is that the amount of overwhelming opposition was hidden from the American people.
Sure.
I was expecting this to be a slam dunk when I saw all the pressure going down and everybody ganging up on, you know, and the 64 votes to bring this back. I thought, oh boy, they're just going to, they've turned some votes. And apparently it was just the opposite happening. They couldn't even get the 12 Republicans to vote with the president.
Well, you know, the amazing thing was I kept reading these articles that say the majority of the American people support the amnesty bill, the majority support it, and I knew that wasn't true. I mean, they were lying. All of the media was coordinating an effort to give us the idea. It was all over. The majority's behind it. Is it going to go through? And it was the determined opposition that came from, you know, your readers and people listen to those programs such as ours and the internet, and apparently there was just such a barrage of calls and emails and faxes to the senators that a lot of them, went right along with the people rather than supporting President Bush. In fact, his popularity, obviously even the senators don't support him.
Well, that's right. 18 senators who voted yes to bring the bill back up for reconsideration voted no on yesterday. What turned them off? Well, two things, basically. First, there was overwhelming grassroots pressure from citizens expressing their absolute anger over this bald-faced attempt to push amnesty down our throats. The Capitol Hill switchboard was just clobbered. For days, in fact, they have never seen such a heated reaction from people saying, we don't want amnesty, what's even worse is the Senate majority, especially led by these 12 Republicans and the Democrats, kept defeating numerous reasonable amendments that turned off the fence sitters. They realized there was no intent on the part of the president nor his backers to amend this bill, even though that's what supposedly gave them the votes to bring it up, is that we're going to consider all your amendments, and so let's bring this up for consideration. And they turned them all down. I haven't seen this kind of backlash for years, Dr. Stan.
Well, it's encouraging.
One of my friends said, well, the system works. Yeah, the system works if there's an overwhelming backlash, but it's almost impossible to get this kind of response out of ordinary American peoples for things that are much more essential to our liberty even than this immigration. Now, this was and is a very, very important thing. But when you look at the Patriot Act and other things, the removal of habeas corpus, these are extremely dangerous to our liberty. This will allow this government to put innocent people in jail and throw away the key, and you can't even come close to getting this kind of backlash as we did on the immigration issue. But thank goodness it sent a message. But what I'm saying is that it wasn't the crushing defeat that we thought it was. Unless you equate crushing establishment pressure, there wouldn't have been enough to turn this to a negative side had it not been for, this public pressure. These 18 moderate senators could have gone either way, frankly. In fact, they would have most willingly wanted to go along with the president and their other Senate colleagues, but they were given no political cover. So I take some time in this week's brief to talk about the ways in which senators try to create fig leaves of cover, shall we say, so that they can appear be responsive to their constituency and yet give in to them. Now, let me just give you an example. There was an amendment by Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Republican of Texas that would have required adult illegal immigrants to return to their home country before they could apply for this new type of visa. Now, on its face, this appears to be a reasonable requirement. But notice that she had in her amendment that within 2 years they had to apply. That means that you could go ahead and apply and get your amnesty and things, but somewhere later on, within 2 years, you had to go back to your country, touch base, and then come back again. Well, who's going to enforce that? You see, nobody realizes you can't enforce millions of people going back and touching base. Who's going to, you know, they've already got their green card. They've already got their temporary visa. Nobody's going to go run around hunting these people down and saying, you didn't go back or prove that you went back. It was just a non-enforceable thing. So this was a requirement that would not have been enforced. It would have given Hutchinson the cover she needed to vote for the bill, saying, I was the one responsible for this requirement that they return home, when in fact it never would have required them really to return home because it was unenforceable. But opponents of the amendment, of course, said that the so-called touchback requirement would render the program useless. Well, it would render the amnesty part useless, really, if illegals didn't really want to risk going back home. But I just don't think that they are willing to go back home because they don't trust their ability to get back through the border through legal channels. I mean, I had a friend who has tried to get a person from Europe to come work here as a music repairman. He's an expert in the field on string instruments, has an expertise. They have gone through all the hoops, spent thousands of dollars in fees with lawyers and trying to go through the normal immigration ways of get an expert worker here, trying to prove and advertise that there isn't anybody else who can repair violins to this quality. And finally, in 2002, they got all the paperwork done and submitted and requested a hearing, and he just got his hearing date August of 2007. Now, that's 4 or 3 years, Dr. Stan, to go through the legal channels. And I suspect they've made it this difficult through the legal channels just to continue to foment the frustration of coming through illegally, and it really is a temptation.
I fear you're absolutely right.
So most of these senators really want to go along with the powers that be because they all know that their political life depends on establishment approval and funding. But increasingly, the powers that be are pushing them to completely disregard their constituents, and they aren't willing to do that, at least not without some cover. Now let's talk about, after the break, what cover they used.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Messianic praise and worship leader, Israeli recording artist, and longtime friend Jonathan Sattel will be in concert Saturday, June the 30th at 10:30 a.m. at the Beth Messiah Congregation, 8333 Acoma Way in Denver. This is a Shabbat concert you won't want to miss. That's June the 30th, 10:30 a.m., Beth Messiah Congregation. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and we were talking about senators wanting cover so that they can, you know, if they're going to go along with the administration, they've got to somehow be able to have a cover story for their constituents, because the last thing they want to do is get the constituents mad and not get reelected. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, the most favored tactic is use the complex Senate rules in order to allow them to put themselves on record as going against something when, in fact, they facilitate its being passed. Senators looking to secretly support a measure and fool their constituents into thinking they voted against it look for where the voting process is split up into several issues or time frames. They will vote no in committee, for example, when there are already enough votes to pass, so they can be on record as having opposed it. Then the Senate leaders will tuck this embarrassing measure often into another popular bill, a larger omnibus spending bill or a support our troops bill, totally unrelated, so that the unprincipled senators have an excuse to vote for the larger bill, even though he's supposedly opposed to the smaller issue that's tacked onto the bill. That's why I'm extremely opposed to having any of these omnibus bills that have separate issues. All issues need to be voted on separately, so there is no hiding among the bushes for these types of issues. Now, in this particular scheme in the Senate, 18 reluctant senators voted in favor of reconsidering the bill because that was a fairly neutral vote, or so they thought. The Senate leadership was counting on 60 senators to vote today on cloture, or yesterday, cutting off debate, not allowing any more amendments, so that they could get the bill passed on a simple majority. So now let's look at the numbers here. It takes 60 votes to vote on cloture. That means to close off debate and bring it up for a vote. But it only takes 51 votes to pass it in a majority. This allows room for 9 senators to vote no on final passage, even though they facilitated cutting off debate and advancing the bill. So then they can go to their constituency, I voted against this. But in fact, they were for it. They voted no only because they were on the list of getting on the freebie side of being able to protect their themselves from their constituents. And there's a conspiracy within Senate leadership. They make deals with senators. Say, all right, who needs protection against their constituents? Who's going to be extremely unpopular if they vote for this bill? We'll allow you to vote no on this if you'll give us the votes to cut off debate. And that's the kind of deals they make. And it's really evil, and it's unprincipled.
Well, I'm sure this sort of thing goes on all the time. And, I'm just so glad, though, that they weren't able to put it over on this one, because I think this certainly will tend to really give a lot of the people on our side, rejuvenate their enthusiasm for really taking action.
Well, the problem with this is that the president and all his lackeys wanted too much. They gambled on all or nothing, and they came up with nothing. They basically didn't allow any of these amendments to pass, and so they left these 18 senators without any cover. The powers that be are hopping mad and planning revenge not only on these senators, but the whole anti-illegal immigration public as well, meaning us. Now, here's what the short term is going to be. Amnesty's dead for this session. No one's going to dare touch it. Everybody's burned out about it. They've had their fingers stung on this thing. But the Bushies intend to make things a lot worse. You can count on it. This administration will do nothing now to enforce the law. Believe me, and I'm going to repeat that. They're going to make things worse on all counts. They want to make us pay for our resistance and sabotage. And they will sabotage every aspect of immigration enforcement. until another immigration crisis looms again. They're not going to take no for an answer. There are also rumors they're going to try to piecemeal this legislation a little bit at a time. That's what they did with certain aspects of the Patriot Act that couldn't get passed. Waiting for another time to throw it into other bills. So they've got lots of little other smaller pieces of legislation to try to get an agricultural immigrant portion in here and several other things for high-tech workers. In any case, part of the problem is going to be no enforcement. Typical of this subterfuge was Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff claiming that the bill, without the bill, he was not able to effectively enforce the law. He said, and I quote, "I'm disappointed about the fact that there were some necessary tools that we needed to be able to do more than we can currently do in enforcing the law that were left on the floor of the Senate today. Among those tools," Chertoff said, "were one, a mandatory employment verification system. Two, tamper-proof cards for undocumented workers. Three, additional penalties. And four, procedural tools and a $4.4 billion in additional funds." Now, this is completely bogus. There are already enough laws on the books to prosecute employers for hiring illegals. The government has all the tools necessary to track down phony Social Security cards and fake green cards. A new ID system is only meant to track all citizens. Tamper-proof cards are a red herring. Most faked green cards and Social Security cards are simply counterfeited. They're not tampered with. I want to repeat that. People aren't going around and erasing Social Security cards or tampering with green cards. They're simply counterfeiting those cards. So having a tamper-proof card, meaning plastic-covered card where a person can't separate it and go in and change the picture and things, that's not the issue. It's producing whole new cards. And all that can still be done. They still produce new dollar bills, even with all the so-called anti-counterfeiting techniques. What is lacking is the will to enforce the existing law, and Americans are tired of being lied to by the government's intent to enforce, about the government's intent to enforce the law. I loved the remarks of Republican Senator David Vitter of Louisiana when he said, "My no vote sent a crystal clear message to the administration. The American people want us to start with enforcement, both at the border and at the workplace, and we don't want promises. They want action. They want results. They want proof, because they've heard all the promises before." Indeed we have, Dr. Stan. So this is a temporary victory. They're not going to take no for an answer, but it makes us realize what it takes to stop a juggernaut from this globalist government and their control of Congress. That's what it takes, is really angry Americans, and Americans need to get angry about a lot more things beyond immigration.
Well, what really bothers me is that the bedrock basis of the President Bush's support is the evangelical Christian movement. And you would think that they would begin to realize that this man has lied and lied and lied. And he is lying about, you know, the fact that he doesn't want amnesty, obviously wants amnesty. He knows how to stop illegal immigration. He is intent upon destroying our sovereignty. When are the evangelical Christians of this country going to wake up and look at what's going on instead of following their false leaders?
Well, you know, this is the first time, in fact, that conservative Republicans in the Senate have bucked the president in any strong numbers. As I said, he only could get 12 Republicans to vote along with the Democrats. So at least on this issue, they've woken up, and I would say that the president lost a good many evangelical Christians and their support for this, and hopefully it will erode further. I mean, this is the most unpopular president in the history of the United States. This is the most reviled president internationally in the history of the world, looking upon U.S. presidents. He's literally despised and reviled around the world. And part of that is because, of course, he's a script reader. He's a fool that's been put up to carry water for a globalist administration. And this week's brief is going to cover Vice President Dick Cheney as he defies government oversight on secrecy. This is where the core power structure lies within the Bush administration, this huge staff that the vice president has. There has never, Dr. Stan, been a vice president that's had hundreds of staff members and a budget of $4.4 million to staff his people. Heretofore, the vice president's office has just been a figurehead office. They get a few speeches to go through, and they traipse around the country and say nice things. They've never been given a policy role, never, absolutely not. But Dick Cheney has a huge policy role, and I'm covering this in some detail. But, of course, the big story this week is his outrageous assertion that his office is exempt from the authority of the National Archives, which is part of the executive branch controlling classified documents, because he claims to be part of the legislative branch. Now, in contrast, when the legislative branch demanded to know this year the details about his staff as part of their oversight duties to determine funding for his office, Cheney refused to reveal how many or who was working for him, claiming executive privilege. So which is it, Dick Cheney? Apparently, for the VP, he wants it both ways, or no way, depending on whose authority he's trying to avoid. Scott Horton of Harper's.com said, Cheney's attitude is in complete opposition to the founders' view of American government. Nothing is quite so revealing of the tyrannical attitudes of Dick Cheney as his views on secrecy. Put simply, for Cheney, the public office holder, everything he does must be kept secret from the people. But on the other hand, the ordinary people are entitled to no secrets from the government. Cheney can engage in unwarranted wiretapping and surveillance to his heart's content, and no matter that it's a violation of federal criminal statutes. But, of course, the public is not free from his surveillance. Why the office of the vice president, he says, thinks he is above the law. Now, he certainly acts as if he is above the law.
Well, Chris, the one thing that nobody wants to stress is his connection with the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission, has always had their man, in a key position in every administration since the organization was founded. Barry Goldwater said it very clearly in his book, With No Apologies, where he said, the purpose of the Trilateral Commission is to take over multinational control of financial and commercial interests by first seizing control of the government of the United States. And they really do. And simply, Cheney represents the power structure there in the Bush administration.
Well, it's really interesting to try to look at where these instructions come from. We never do see the people at the very top. We've never had any defectors from the very top, never had anyone openly claim, yes, we're in a conspiracy to control American liberty and to take away American sovereignty. There have been second-level people, your Richard Gardners, your Strobe Talbot, your Brent Scowcroft, yours, the big new Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, and the people who run the top echelons of the Trilateral Commission and CFR. But in fact, these people are second level. They're working for the top people who completely keep in the background. In other words, you can't go ahead and take the direct leadership of the Trilateral Commission and say, these are the people controlling the world. It's even higher than that.
I'm sure there is.
For example, a lot of people focus on the Bilderberger Group, which meets every year. In fact, the Bilderberger Group is not where any major decisions are made, even about what goes on in Bilderberger. I happen to have found out that 8 years ago, when they were preparing for Bilderberger, the top leaders met at the Aspen Institute, and the Aspen Institute has many non-conspiratorial aspects as well. But all of these organizations have things that they use to cover, things that appear benign, things that use normal scholars that aren't involved in conspiracy. But within those offices, they have people that call up and say, all right, I want room such and such reserved. We're going to have a meeting there. And they get, through separate channels, a lot of people walk in. They all have permission. Nobody says anything. They hold their secret meeting, and they leave. And the Bilderberger is more of what I would call a leadership conference. This is where they bring in new people up and coming in business and government around the world to try to test their reaction to things that they talk about globalism. In other words, they don't sit there and actually conspire at Bilderbergers of how to control the world. They're propagating information and ideas to up-and-coming leaders to see how they react, to see who wants to come on board, to kind of test the waters to see who they will allow to come up within the system. And so each of these organizations, whether it's Club of Rome, CFR, they all have a different purpose within the conspiracy.
I'm sure they do. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Scout.
Founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Last winter really took its toll here in Colorado. Roof damage became the norm rather than the exception. Even here at the facilities of KHNC Radio, our roof began to give way to the weight of the winter snow, and light fixtures came crashing down around us. We turned to our longtime friends at New West Roofing, and they came to our rescue with high-quality workmanship and experience, as well as a genuine concern that the job was done quickly and correctly. We can highly recommend you contact Bud and New West Roofing at 303-452-4172. That's 303-452-4172 for all of your roofing, seamless gutter, or skylight needs. New West Roofing has been a longtime supporter of the American Freedom Network, and we're proud to recommend them. They've been in business since 1978. New West Roofing, 303-452-4172. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of World Affairs Brief?
Yes, the World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service by subscription. There's a modest price for it to get a weekly in your email. And people can get a sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And they can also go to the website where it tells them how to do that, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. Lots of things there, including the posting by my volunteer researchers of all the major news stories each day so that you can get a selected view of the best stories without having to do all your research yourself. Lots of good information on the right-hand side about government cover-ups that I've commented on over the years, and on the left-hand side I cover some of the books I've written on how to prepare for what I think is coming down in this country. But certainly we have, as we've talked about on this program today, a concerted effort by the people who really run our government secretly to destroy our sovereignty, to manipulate us into regional governments were, which is where ultimately this multicultural agenda, this immigration fiasco is leading us to, and they aren't going to take no for an answer. So we're also talking today in today's interview about Vice President Dick Cheney and being the core center of the control system of this government. Normally, it's interesting to note that the National Security Advisor is the president's handler on the part of the powers that be, as I call them, usually coming from Trilateral Commission or CFR. The people that I mentioned beforehand, Henry Kissinger, well, we can go through some of the handlers of the president. Zbigniew Brzezinski was President Jimmy Carter's handler. He was responsible for all of the disastrous pro-Soviet, pro-communist acts that happened. The fall of Nicaragua happened under Jimmy Carter at the instigation of Zbigniew Brzezinski, as well as the fall of the Shah of Iran. He was responsible for all of those things. There were also numerous things that occurred in follow-up of Southeast Asia during that time. Then they essentially cut the throat of Jimmy Carter through Operation October Surprise, whereby they made this deal with the Iranians to take the hostages of Americans and keep those hostages, not release them until after the presidential election, so that that could accrue to Ronald Reagan's benefit. And what's interesting about October Surprise is that George Bush and the Republicans were not in office at the time, and yet they had access to all the CIA SR-71 aircraft to fly George Bush back and forth between Europe and the United States to sign the papers about the secret deal with the Iranians. And they had all these powers and use of government. This is proof of conspiracy. When people who have no office, who have no authority within government, get access to all of this secret government equipment, you know that, in essence, there's a conspiracy which does not have anything to do with legitimate power within the government. So it's very important for your listeners to study about these kinds of cover-ups, and whistleblowers have talked about that and testified in private and in public. During the Nixon administration, of course, Reagan administration, he had Brent Scowcroft, another high-level conspirator, handling him. You had Henry Kissinger, of course, handling Nixon and Ford. And then you had Sandy Berger during the Clinton administration. During the George Bush administration, you have Strobe Talbot and Brent Scowcroft back in the NSA. So these men have been their handlers. But with George Bush, we had lightweights in the national security slot. We had Condoleezza Rice, who was essentially an up-and-coming yes girl from Stanford University, clearly not a high-level inside player. And so you had Dick Cheney take over the handler position with his huge staff in his office. And it's a tremendous staff to look at. He's got national security links. He's got links with the State Department. He's got liaisons with in his staff to every major department in the federal government, so that whenever there's a new policy and he wants to lean on any of the federal agencies, he sends one of his people down, their liaison, and tells them what the vice president thinks. Now, oftentimes he will not, as Elizabeth Sullivan pointed out in the foreign affairs correspondent, he does not, in fact, give orders, but he suggests strongly, and it's, within Washington, people know who has power. They know that the last person to talk to the president before any final decision is the vice president. And so he has been very, very reluctant to be open about the extent of his staff and the extent of his activities. But it's funny that whenever you talk about energy policy, you talk about any important thing that's happened in government, you will find it eventually comes out that somebody went to talk to the vice president about it, and he told him the way things were going to be. And that's the way it is with the president of the United States, even.
He's simply an extension of the script reader for Dick Cheney, and I certainly agree with that.
Well, at least the National Archives is finally showing some teeth over document security. you know, it needed to after the Sandy Berger debacle. This is another interesting case of someone who, this was President Clinton's former national security advisor. Berger walked away from the National Archives with little more than a slap on the hands after egregious violations of secrecy pledges. He'd actually removed material from the National Archives and destroyed it, claimed that he couldn't find it later on. This stuff was embarrassing to the Clinton administration, and he had to get it out of there. In 2002 and 2003, Berger was preparing to testify to the 9/11 Commission, and he not only did purloin top-secret documents and notes from the archives, later he said that he couldn't account for them, and you know, the archives have not tagged or chronicled all the documents Berger reviewed. Its staff was unable to say for sure what had been lost or destroyed. But that's not the real reason that Berger got off easy. You've got to remember, he was not in office at that time that he did the theft. He shouldn't really even have had access to the national security system because he was not in an official position in the government. But he's a deep insider with unofficial immunity. And so when he took this material, you know, it's one thing to claim immunity when you're active as serving for the president, but Berger was supposedly only a private citizen. Obviously, he was still working undercover for government, and that's one of the reasons why they picked someone who wasn't technically in office, so that if he got caught and they had to send him to prison, they could say, in essence, that he wasn't acting for the current administration. Now, Cheney has good reason to wrap his office in official secrecy. This is the command center of the entire Bush administration. And, you know, if you compare the president's office to Vice President Dan Quayle, who was a mere figurehead, if Dan Quayle had ever attempted to dictate or influence policy, George Bush, H.W. Bush administration, he would have laughed at to his face. At a minimum, they would have run to Bush's chief of staff to complain.
We will be back in just a moment with those shells to wrap up this morning's program.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Last winter really took its toll here in Colorado. Roof damage became the norm rather than the exception. Even here at the facilities of KHNC Radio, our roof began to give way to the weight of the winter snow, and light fixtures came crashing down around us. We turned to our longtime friends at New West Roofing, and they came to our rescue with high-quality workmanship and experience, as well as a genuine concern that the job was done quickly and correctly. We can highly recommend you contact Bud and New West Roofing at 303-452-4172. That's 303-452-4172 for all of your roofing, seamless gutter, or skylight needs. New West Roofing has been a longtime supporter of the American Freedom Network, and we're proud to recommend them. They've been in business since 1978. New West Roofing, 303-452-4172.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Messianic praise and worship leader, Israeli recording artist, and longtime friend Jonathan Sattel will be in concert Saturday, June the 30th at 10:30 a.m. at the Beth Messiah Congregation, 8333 Acoma Way in Denver. This is a Shabbat concert you won't want to miss. That's June the 30th, 10:30 a.m., Beth Messiah Congregation. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, pick the story up here.
Well, we're also finding out that a lot about the insider workings of government through what's happened with the BAE scandal out of England. British Aerospace Systems, a major arms contractor, during the Maggie Thatcher administration, signed a secret deal with Saudi Arabia to provide fighter jets and other military equipment in exchange for an undisclosed amount of oil at a bargain rate. Now, the U.S. also has a similar secret agreement with Saudi Arabia. And part of that agreement, as I pointed out in previous briefs, is to provide protection for the Saudis. The Saudis are very corrupt, and they're subject to being overthrown by more fundamentalist people within their regime. And the U.S. has guaranteed that no one will overthrow the Saudis as long as they supply them oil. And that's one of the reasons why whenever the U.S. wants oil prices controlled, they can depend on Saudi Arabia to pump more oil. Part of an extension of this secret agreement. But actually, part of the agreement is public, and part is of these deals, the bribes and corruption and secret compensation are secret. The oil, in fact, in Britain was resold at market rates and netted an extra $80 to $100 billion in slush funds that would go on to fund U.S. and British secret operations around the world. And there was also a multi-million dollar under-the-table payoff to U.S. Saudi Ambassador Prince Bandar for brokering the deal. He also got a similar payoff in the U.S. Now, the oil was distributed and resold by a consortium of big oil giants, British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell. And the money was laundered through Lazard Bank, Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, and Globalist, and BCCI, and also the Globalist Carlyle Group in the U.S. All this went on without public knowledge. And one of the problems was that it got let out in Britain, and it's a big scandal in Britain about this big payoff to Prince Bandar. And one of the purposes of Cheney's recent emergency visit to Saudi Arabia was to assure the Saudis that he would keep the lid on the growing revelations about the Bandar payoff and the secret agreements between the U.S. and the British governments with Saudi Arabia. So in Britain, the probe was initiated by the Serious Fraud Office, and Cheney is reported to have had a secret conversation with Chancellor of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown, who just now became the Prime Minister. And after his return from Saudi Arabia, and Brown saw to it that the UK Attorney General, Lord Goldsmith, shut down the investigation for national security reasons, obviously. You see, they use national security reasons both in England and the U.S. to make sure that government illegal actions are covered up. What the conspirators didn't count on was that the Europeans got wind of the cover-up and launched their own investigation through the Office of Economic Cooperation and Development, which has always resented British and American pretensions of honesty and free trade demands. In other words, the Americans have always said, you can't take bribes for this and that, and they'd put a lot of pressure on the Europeans to play straight, supposedly, in their free trade negotiations. And now they all found out that the Americans and British have had these bribes going on, and so the Swiss government and several others jumped into the fray to protect their own deals from scrutiny, and even the U.S. Justice Department had to start a token investigation so as not to appear complicit. But somewhere hidden within the struggle between Congress and the Department of Justice over the firing of prosecutors, and I think is knowledge of the secret deals that they have to be covered up. And this is one of the reasons why the Bush administration and the vice president are refusing to allow any of their staff to be subpoenaed by Congress to answer questions about Justice Department relationships. Of course, nothing's more emblematic than Vice President's power than the fact that Cheney was running the government during the 9/11 crisis from his underground, from the underground command bunker under the White House called the Situation Room. And, of course, there was the famous testimony of Norm Mineta, who was angry that his statements to the 9/11 Commission about Cheney being in the Situation Room directing them were purposely omitted from the final report. And worse than that, they had other people come in and falsely testify that Cheney wasn't even in there till after the Pentagon was attacked. Mineta confirmed in a telephone interview with the 9/11 Truth Commission that Mineta, that Vice President Cheney was absolutely already there when he arrived at 9:25, and he heard Mineta, or Cheney, of course, give the orders to keep the stand down in place. Later on, of course, the 9/11 Commission tried to point out that Cheney was, in fact, the order still stand meant that they were going to shoot down any aircraft, but in fact, Cheney was saying, of course, the order still stand. He wouldn't have been saying to this Air Force officer that kept coming in and giving him a panic look, look, the plane is 50 miles out, it's 30 miles out, it's 10 miles out. Do the orders still stand? It doesn't make any sense. Do the orders still stand? Are we going to shoot this down? He wouldn't be panicky about it, giving it close if they were going to shoot it down. He was panicky because the orders were not to shoot anything down. And Mineta also said, Dr. Stan, that Cheney's wife, Lynn, was also in the Situation Room, as well as many people in Cheney's staff. And this shows that these people have full knowledge of this kind of conspiracy going on to use terrorism to create the atmosphere for undermining U.S. civil liberties.
I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid we're in real trouble. I'm afraid the American people are not concerned because they're using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom and justify a dictatorship. And we've got to create this awareness in the hearts and minds of the American people before that tyranny is established. Because once it is, freedom as we know it will cease to exist.
You know, there's so much deception going on. The CIA has supposedly revealed the family jewels, some 700 pages of formerly classified documents detailing some of its illegal operations dating back to the 50s and 60s, including assassination plots against foreign leaders, drug tests of unwitting citizens, wiretapping of U.S. journalists, spying on activists, opening email, break-ins to the home of ex-CIA employees, etc. But you know, Stan, none of this stuff is new news. Virtually every revelation has been reported elsewhere before. These revelations were only made public to counter the image of an administration obsessed with keeping its acts illegal.
We're out of time, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed the program. The question is, who is really running things today? If you have not yet read my pamphlets, we put together a series of our articles, and we call them the there is another dimension, there is a spiritual dimension, and that there are beings who bridge that dimension from the other dimension into this one and influence what's going on. And we simply take their writings and we tell you what they say about how things are being manipulated and run today by the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. Truly demonic beings who are influencing the course of human events and moving us rapidly towards a great conflict in the Middle East. So, let me suggest, there's nothing quite like it, the occult hierarchy available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, of course, you can begin to understand this by reading my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or getting the DVD, getting our more recent talk, The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, I think, is an excellent introduction to the spiritual forces and how they are working today. Certainly Constance Cumby, we have an excellent DVD of her talk at our last conference, that is The Emergence, and it's available in DVD or video. And then there's a four-tape or 4D set, a CD set of my interviews with Constance, which you can get. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for these and so many other items. We did a most wonderful interview the other evening with Johanna Michelson, who had written The Beautiful Side of Evil. She was a medium. And, of course, she goes into what's happening in the Christian church. You can simply order the audio-taped interview with Johanna Michelson we did this week, calling our 800 number. Certainly one of the most revealing talks we've had in a long time. And you can see these influences permeating the so-called church growth movement, the emerging church, the centering church. What better way to destroy Christianity than bring occult worship practices into the Christian church today? Understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today. So the information is there. You need to get it. You need to help us get it out. We hope that many of you will consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as simple as calling our 800 number and subscribe to our monthly tape or CD set and get the monthly newsletter. There's so much you could do if you can't afford to help us. At least encourage others to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. They can listen to our archive programs. They can see so many of our videos, which are absolutely free. If you go to the online video section there, get people to go, get them to watch and understand what's going on. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. We'll be back Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Messianic praise and worship leader, Israeli recording artist, and longtime friend Jonathan Sattel will be in concert Saturday, June the 30th at 10:30 a.m. at the Beth Messiah Congregation, 8333 Acoma Way in Denver. This is a Shabbat concert you won't want to miss. That's June the 30th, 10:30 a.m., Beth Messiah Congregation. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Public school diversity plans threatens to undermine the Brown versus Board of Education decision made half a century ago. The court split 5-4 in rejecting integration plans in Louisville, Kentucky, and Seattle. Theodore Shaw is the director of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. He says he's disappointed with the Supreme Court decision.
What the court did today is unfortunate. This is not a good day for our country.
He also says the fight for school diversity will continue.
This has always been an uphill fight. The fight for racial justice. And so we're not giving up.